On our last podcast, Why Do We Listen to Our Inner Critic?, we talked to Lisa Firestone about the critical inner voice, where it comes from, and how people can start to get rid of it. As a supplement to that, we wanted to include this bonus podcast, where you'll hear Lisa introduce and outline a therapy method developed by our father, Dr. Robert Firestone. Appropriately called voice therapy, this method helps people identify and overcome their critical inner voice.
Here, Lisa's first going to take us through the 5 steps of voice therapy, and we'll finish the podcast with audio from a real person going through some of these steps with Robert Firestone. This helps illustrate the process of voice therapy and some of the insight that can come from it.
We have developed a therapy technique to deal with it as well. Actually, our father, Robert Firestone, developed a technique which he originally wrote about in his book, Voice Therapy. And we wrote about newer thinking in our book, Self Under Siege. And what we really looked at was some steps for identifying your critical inner voice and starting to overcome it. So the first step is really just saying the negative thoughts in the second person with the full feeling behind them. So saying them with the tone and the intonation that you hear them in your head. And it's interesting, when people who grew up speaking a different language start to do this, they often go back into their language of origin, because that's the language in which they hear their critical inner voices. Also, when people get into it emotionally, they often take on the body posture, the facial expressions, the tone of voice, and often the accent of their parent. And it really is, you see their parent inside of them. We encourage people to get into it with the full feeling. When they do that, they usually say a number of thoughts, probably ones that they were aware of. And then there's often a long pause. And you want to let that pause happen, because what comes next is the core beliefs about themselves. And as therapists, we sometimes want to get in there and do something with those thoughts right away to make our patient feel better or to help them. But it's actually more helpful to take that pause, let the person get to the core belief about themselves, because then they get some more self-compassion often, and they get a feeling of wanting to answer back, which is really the next step. And again, sometimes people answer back with a lot of feeling as well. They want to get angry back at what hurt them. And so they say things back to their critical inner voice in that way as well. And what comes out is a very full picture of how they felt as a child often, or in that situation that created those critical inner voices. And then it's just to say a more compassionate, realistic perspective about themselves, which just helps to assert themselves. And for some people, you have to help them with this step, just to say what is a more compassionate perspective, because they don't treat themselves that way. You know, what would they say to a good friend? What's a kinder way to treat themselves about this issue? But it feels really good and very relieving when people do say the real honest thing about themselves. They often feel sad, which is another important emotion to let them experience, because that also is an adaptive sadness and an adaptive anger of standing up for themselves that help to really shift that underlying bad feeling about themselves. And then the next step is really to think about, how are these thoughts influencing you in your life today? How are they guiding your behavior? How are they keeping you from taking positive risks? How are they talking you out of going for things you really want? And really planning actions, it's the last step, to change those behaviors. And this is something we do collaboratively with people we're working with, is what are the things you'd really like to see different in your life, and what would be the steps to get there? And it's important to have steps along the way, and to take small steps, because of the anxiety that comes up when you start to break with these thoughts. You don't want them to be so overwhelmed that they run back to their defenses. You want them to break them in little steps. And then to come and talk about the voices in the following session that got stirred up by taking the action. And if you think about it, if we look at therapy, it really does change our brain, and it does it through three different methods, is what they found in research. And those three methods are all in voice therapy. One is through emotion. Emotion changes the brain. The second is insight changes the brain, and having those insights about where these thoughts come from and what bent you out of shape in the first place is important. And then lastly, the other thing that changes your brain is action, taking different action. So all three of those elements of the brain-changing properties of psychotherapy are part of voice therapy, and I think that's why it's effective for people, and where we see people make major shifts in their life.
So now you'll hear some clips from an example of someone going through the steps of voice therapy. A bit of background that this is a man talking about how he started having self-critical thoughts and pulling back from his partner after they started talking about having a baby. Again, hearing someone say their critical inner voices can be emotional, so if hearing this causes you to feel upset, or if you have children around, you may want to skip this last part.
She just mentioned that she felt like it would be nice to have a baby with me, and I felt the same way, that it would be really interesting and sweet feeling of, like, yeah. Since then, there hasn't been as much actual physical sex.
So what do you think you're telling yourself that's making you back away?
It feels like this is not for you. I'm telling myself, other people can have families. You are not ever going to have a family. It doesn't make sense for you to have family. You can't support a family. I tell myself that I'm trapped. I'm only going to be with one person the rest of my life. I'm going to be trapped.
You're saying you're going to get trapped.
You're going to be trapped. If you have a baby with someone, you can't do anything anymore. You can't look at another woman. You can't go out with someone to the movies just with a friend.
Say it as a voice, with feeling. Try to say it with feeling.
You will not have a life anymore. You will never be able to play your guitar again. You will have to sneak out if you ever want to do anything, if you want to go to the movies, if you want to go take a weekend off. You're going to come, it's going to be miserable. You're going to have someone down your throat. As soon as you get home, you're going to have to just fight just to have 1 minute of freedom. It's always going to be someone just talking to you. Where's this? Where's that? Can we do this? Are you going to go over here? Why don't you ever do this? Just someone riding you all the way down the line just until you feel like killing somebody, and then you're going to leave and just walk out the door and just be gone, and you're going to leave your kid behind, and that'll be the end of your life. There's a warning in there from my father, like, it's almost not that many different things. It's just, don't do it. Just stop right there.
Say it loud.
Don't do it. Don't even take that chance. You're crazy. You're crazy to get involved with a woman. Just the stupidest thing you could ever want to do. Just stop. It feels like just the most stupid thing you can do.
It seemed like it was obvious that it was your father's point of view that you talked about. When he was saying about getting involved with a woman, what it can do to you and so on, how it can ruin your life, what would you say back? What would be your point of view, an objective point of view?
When a woman is tender to me and just affectionate, it makes me feel more like a man, makes me feel like I like myself. It feels good to share something or have a feeling of someone who enjoys you and doesn't really need you, but needs you in that way that it makes their life more interesting to be with me. The truth now feels like, oh, my whole life I have felt so inferior, but the truth was like, I'm as good as the next guy. I'm as good as anybody else.
Say it louder.
I could be just as good. I could work just as hard. I'm capable of taking care of someone. Why wouldn't someone love me? I'm not bad looking. It feels good. I love feeling this way towards someone. I'd be kind to somebody. I'd be nice to them. Why wouldn't they like me?
Looks like you felt sad.
I was sad because I felt like my whole life I missed out on so many opportunities to have a friendship and a relationship and a sexual feeling, or even to have children when I was young. And when it came up, because I had this voice, it just pushed me right out of any kind of relationship. If it felt closer, I was gone because of all those voices. Mm-hmm. You're not equal. You'll just be left alone, be left behind.
Well, it made you sad to think about yourself in a positive light.
To be the same. Just to be the same as everybody felt sad. Mm-hmm. That I was on an equal playing field. So everything was just belittled.
What would be a constructive way to approach this issue now?
I think just to be more comfortable or more sure of my actions, and just that's fine just to be affectionate with her.
You could hang in there.
I could hang in there. I could just be around.
Even if it made you anxious for a while.
Yeah.
Our thank you again to Lisa for joining us for this podcast and to the Glendon Association for sharing these clips. If you're interested in learning more about voice therapy, you can visit glendon.org or visit us at psychalive.org.